Pranav.
Hey.
What's up?
I'm good. I think today, I had a rough week, like you, I guess. Either catching up with you is always something I look forward to, even if today I was not the best at that.
Yeah, so just to introduce ourselves, my name is Werner Puchert and my co-host is Jonathan Gall.
Yeah.
And I'm in Warsaw, Poland, and Jonathan is in Kielce, that's in Prague, right, or in the Czech Republic.
Kielce between Warsaw and Krakow. So it's a city you go through and you never stop by. But that's okay.
Yeah, I've never been there. I need to come and visit you. Anyway, Jonathan, over to our few minutes. We're going to spend 30 minutes together and we're going to be talking about productivity.
Yes.
And the thing is, like you mentioned when we spoke about it before the show, the productivity really relates to how it fits into the whole world of entrepreneurs. We're both entrepreneurs. We have our own businesses.
Yep.
I'm a complete mess when it comes to productivity. And like you know. And we're going to discuss about a few things that makes our businesses a bit more efficient, because one thing I've learned since being on my own and running my own business is that it's really, really important to really focus on being efficient.
Right.
You're on your own. So, Jonathan, maybe starting with you, dude, like, because you went on your own first, like, where should we start with this?
Yeah.
Do you maybe have a few ideas or kind of a framework that you use to stay productive?
Definitely. We're going to start with the one that failed at today, which is calendaring. So basically, basically, when it comes to productivity, you have tools and techniques and you have books. We're going probably to reference more books in the show notes that we are going to talk about today, because there is like a full array of books about productivity system that exists. So we are going to try to focus today on what works for us, right? And what we actually implemented. So this is going to be straight thought. So when it comes to the first productivity tool, it should be for most of us our calendar. Because in our calendar, this is where we are going to organize how we are going to spend our time. And as entrepreneurs, our time, I mean, it should be the case for everybody, but as entrepreneurs, our time is the most valuable thing we have. We need to save our time not only to meet prospects or clients, which is no straightforward, but you might do in all jobs, but we also need to plan ourselves our study time, our family time, because it's very easy when you're an entrepreneur to forget about that. So
it's like I said before, dude, like when you start working for yourself, you start realizing that you work for an asshole because you're working for yourself and you're driving yourself to, you know, like you think your ex-boss is bad. I think you might be worse.
Pretty much. It's so how do I use calendaring in my case? So it's very simple. I want three calendars, right? So I have a calendar that is for business purpose, in which my clients have their input that I shared with clients. Or I have also, so most of the time it's the company or the client's calendar in which I put my input. So this calendar is kind of a read-only one. Those are the events you have to go in. Everybody sees it. You have expectations. So this calendar is the most important one. Then you will create a second calendar, which is your personal one. I really advise not to mix both, not to put your work stuff in your personal calendar. It can become a mess very, very quickly. At the beginning of your career as an entrepreneur, it might not be an issue, but once you get a few clients, a few other activities, it can really get messy. So I would advise you to have your own calendar in which you have your own activity and things that make sense for you as it might be for you as a professional in the sense that you can have time to read, for example, save time to read. Some people do that, or save time to go to a conference or this. So all those items needs to be on your own calendar. And then I do have a family calendar, which is shared only with my partner. So this way I can fully see what we plan to do as as a couple. And I can mix and match things, make sure that my week is uniform. So how do you do it? How do you manage your calendars?
Yeah. So I'm similar to you, because before I kind of reverse engineered the whole idea of calendaring and using. I actually started off with email because for me, even in my corporate gig, managing email was a complete and total pain in the ass. And the thing is, it was actually switched on by my former boss, the partner at Deloitte. I noticed that he didn't have folders. He smashed everything into an archive or whatever. And he said to me, like, he'll find it. Like, there's a search thing. Yep. And that was kind of a cool insight in itself. And of course, when I started working on my own, I started creating folders for projects. I mean, you have these massive folders. And I came to the realization that you never actually go back to those folders. You never. There's maybe a few things that you need to keep on hand, like important government stuff, your tax number and stuff, yeah. But you never go back. So I flipped my mindset. So what I started doing is that I just use a big archiving system. I delete emails. Okay. So first of all, delete emails. The other thing is also take action immediately. So I actually did some training this week. I was running workshops in Krakow, and one of the guys who participated in the workshop told me the story where he was also on some productivity thing, and he said, like, he just learned something that his wife was saying to him all the time.
Okay.
And his new philosophy is, why not now? And that's also how I manage my email. So I go through all the email, and I look at, okay, cool. Is this a meeting that I need to set? Okay, I have a folder for meetings. Is this a reminder? I put it in a reminder folder. And then everything, I've got a do folder, and this is what I need to do. And And if that action can take place within 10 minutes, I do it immediately.
Okay, so those are actions that you don't put in your calendar. You just go straight at it. Okay, makes sense.
I do it, right? But the thing is, now I want to reverse back out into the whole idea of calendars just to lock into what you're doing. So anything that I can't do, I schedule in my calendar to do. So I actually transfer my email into my calendar. So then I have elements where I know where I should be taking care of something, right? And my kind of, I'm leaning towards getting things done quicker and faster.
This looks like a lot of getting things done technique, right?
And dude, like, not to be funny, the big thing here is that for the first time in probably 15 years or 18 years of me actually actively working in a company or for myself, okay, my inbox is zero. You know, people say, like, ooh, I want to get to inbox zero. I've got inbox zero. I can show you now. Because if an email comes in, it's nonsense out the door, or I schedule it somewhere else.
I actually do that too. I really enjoy this. So when we talk about getting things done, I just want to reference for people listening to us, there is a fantastic book called Getting Things Done, which is a classic of productivity, but I would advise as your first foray into productivity techniques. That should be your entry point within getting things done. We will add this book in the show notes. And yeah, when it comes to email on my side, I do apply Inbox Zero, the Inbox Zero technique. So for those of you listening to us, Inbox Zero is as simple as it sounds. It means that at the end of the day, there should be no mail at all in your inbox, like no ticker with 93 mails to read. Why we do that? You're going to say, okay, but I'm not worried about those stickers. Whether or not you want, having those stickers is going to take place in your brain. This is, whether or not people, it's just science. It's just something that exists, that takes place, that makes you conscious of things that you might have to do or might do, and you're going to lose sense of priorities. If you, in some jobs, if you don't have business critical jobs, it's fine. I mean, you don't really care of those mails. But if you're an entrepreneur, you care about every single mail that comes in. You want to be sure that when a mail comes, when you have that one, hey, there is something for it. And to come back to your point, yes, 5 minutes. So there is a book called, I think, I need to check the name of that book again. I will add it in the show notes.
Yeah, make some solid show notes. Yeah.
This is also a productivity technique. Whatever you can do in the next 5 minutes, do it and use it as a life principle, because you want to take out the noise. One of the key things about the brain, and there is a very book that we talked about recently, the Willpower Instinct. Did I just reference 3 books in like 5 minutes? Okay. Yeah. In the Willpower Instinct. The R4 talk a lot about the fact that we have a limited amount of choice to do each day. We all have. At one point, our brain just, hey, go off, TV shows, go to bed. That's it. You can't do anything. So every little choice you need to, when you put things in your brain, I will do it later instead of doing it right now, you need to keep in your brain. You need to, everybody at this moment, I have to remind this thing. Oh, I need not to forget about this thing. This is taking place in your brain. And those choices that you, this brain power that you're losing right now, you might pay it later when you will have that critical design, that critical choice to make. Or you will have that meeting with somebody you want to impress or something, and you will draw a blank. So,
you know, and Jonah, I think, sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but I think it brings us into one of the other topics that we shouldn't forget about talking is interruption.
Oh, yes, right? Yes, because, interruption.
Because the thing is, I mean, I know I cut you off there, but the thing is, I didn't want to slip away from this, is the fact that also when you start scheduling these things, the idea of scheduling things on your calendar is that you have one point of interruption, and it's your calendar.
Yes.
Right? So if it's not in the, because now the other thing that you need to do, and I've culled tons, and I know you play even like more hardcore than me, is switching off notifications on all apps.
Yes.
Right. So, and that's sometimes a pain in the ass because people think that you're on online 24/7. But for example, I have Slack, Skype, all these other things. I don't realize that someone's actually getting hold of me when I'm in the scheduled piece of time. Losing my train of thought a little bit here, but you know, also linking to this is that on my email, I have specific times that I actually check email. So in the morning when I wake up and I start my day, I have an hour that I spent on email. Then I check email again on lunchtime, and then I check email again maybe before I close down for the day.
Yeah.
And I do that. You know what the secret is? I've not had any clients come back to me and say, listen, you're too slow with your email.
Right. It's...
And then, it's like, you know, we have this urge. I think sometimes the little salesman in me, like when you're like heavy with sales, you want to be really quick on the move, right? Salespeople complain when the server is slow. But, you know, for general activities, entrepreneurship, man, stop checking your phone, checking your email. That's a death trap.
This is such a good point when it comes to calendaring and managing your time. We created a civilization of distractions, right? You just told about it. You told about Slack, Skype, and WhatsApp, Snapchat, TikTok, you name it. Right now there is the reverse trend. So a funny part, a very funny part. I mean, perhaps funny just for me, but the guy that wrote Hooked, which was a book about how to create those, those links and make people use your tools, just wrote a few months ago a book called Indistractable. So basically how to control your attention and choose your life. So it's near AI. Yeah. So there is very little.
I mean, the irony doesn't escape him either. I heard an interview with him and he's like, yeah, I know.
So yeah, I do play hardcore, and unfortunately you just felt it. When I'm in meeting or anything, I cut, when I'm in my zone, if things are not in my calendar or if I forget, I will not be reminded because I cut everything off. So on Mac, there is a very nice tool that I use a lot, which is called Do Not Disturb. So you can go, if you have a MacBook or Mac OS, you can click Do Not Disturb and no notification will come in. And this is super practical and it's synchronized also with your phone. So when I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, my Mac will be on Do Not Disturb. And I know.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that could happen.
That's pretty cool. And this way, I know that during that period, nobody will know. I will receive no notification, no nothing, and I can really focus on my craft. I also, so talking about calendaring, I do something that is very odd for some. I know you do the same. I wake up very early. I don't wake up very early because I'm an early riser, right? Let me get me straight. I was a night owl, like big time. However, getting up very early gives me a superpower in that nobody distracts me. So those hours between 5 a.m., 4:30, 5 a.m., and 9 a.m., it's pure productivity bliss. I do the equivalent of a day of work during that time because nobody is
there. And Casey Neistat does the same thing. You know, that YouTube vlogger, influencer, he does the same thing. Wakes up at 4 o'clock and then starts working.
Yeah, that's the truth.
The only thing that I will bounce off there, and this is like I've because like, there's two topics I want to touch on, is that like the one is I want to talk about the whole idea of waking up early, and then I want to talk about I forgot what I wanted to talk about because I want to structure my thoughts so well. All right, but let's talk about waking up early. I want to talk about habits.
Yes, yes, so we'll. Boom, that's the next step after calendaring habits. Ooh, big time.
Okay, so the first one's waking up early. So recently, and I'm going to definitely put a link in the show notes to this. There's a show out there called The Happiness Lab. It's a podcast, and I really like encourage people to listen to that. It's about psychology. It's about the art of happiness, how to be happy. But they did a show recently talking about sleep. Because I have this problem where I really feel like I'm super productive in the mornings, but I also have this issue, and this is kind of inbred in me like for a long time, is that I'm a night owl. Mm-hmm. I procrastinate and mission around, and then I go to bed at like 11 o'clock, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then I want to try and wake up 4 o'clock. And what I realize, and this is something that is like a personal realization for me, is that, you know, sometimes my wife gets annoyed with me, or you know, I'm just grumpy, or I'm being a bit of a dick. Dude, that is mostly ascribed to not getting enough sleep.
Yep.
The thing is, sometimes I feel like I can't even deal with myself. And I think, and I'm trying to analyze this, is that it's really like not getting enough sleep, because people say, and there's been articles about 6 hours sleep, 5 hours sleep. I mean, it's a very individual kind of thing. But you know, like 6 hours, 7 hours minimum, right? And so what I'm trying to do now, and I'm not getting it right at all. So I don't want to like anybody listening or watching this think that Vanna's got his shit down. No, I don't. Because I'm not able to get the sleep window right. It either messes up my evening or it screws up my morning.
Yeah, this is a very good point.
And the thing is, having that amount of sleep is super important. And the thing is, you're not going to be able to do the Jonathan sprint in the morning if you haven't had that amount of sleep. But I don't want to tap into your private life, Jono, but I also love, we spoke about it like unrelatedly, but you also spoke about you kind of toning down your activities around 8 o'clock. So if you watch something on Netflix, if you started watching, you'll finish it. But if you didn't, you don't. I didn't want to riff on that a little bit, because I think that's really interesting to just get into the habit of going to bed early.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, definitely. I've been reading about sleeping, and I've been experimenting on myself. I did things like polyphasic sleep for a while. So basically 2 hours, half hour, 2 hours, half hour. I did a lot of things. What I realized at the end of the day is that happy Jonathan, basically, was Jonathan that slept enough to wake up naturally. That was a huge change in my quality of life. I mean, I don't want to be like one of those gurus, but I gained weight. I was happier. I was visibly happier. A lot of things changed in my life the moment I decided that I was breaking my alarm clock. I literally don't have an alarm clock, and I wake up every morning at those hours. My alarm clock is there to warn me that it's time to get out of bed, not to wake up. You see the difference. This is the difference.
Yeah.
And for that, the only way to make it work is get enough sleep. And I experimented a lot also. Should I go to bed at 8 at night? What I realized is that if I want to get to sleep and actually sleep and not stay in bed and roll around, I need to stop any brain stressful activities at least 2 hours before, which means that if I want to be in bed at 9, at 7 p.m., work is finished. And people working with me knows that after, I'm not going to reply to your mails. I'm not going to check anything. Consider I'm off. And as you said earlier, a lot of what you feel is urgent for you is not urgent at the end of the day. So you need to get this heart of your system and be like, oh, we need to sleep. And you will tell me, okay, this show is about productivity and you're telling me it's about sleep. I'm going to reply to that your quality of your productivity and the quality of your day is going to be determined by what you did the night before. And that based on my on my experience and the experience of my partner, and books I read, and perhaps it doesn't work for everybody, right? But it's worth testing. I'm just telling you, it's worth testing for a week.
The thing is, I was on the fence with this one, or kind of leaning towards, hey, I'm a night owl, I'm a superstar, I can do late nights. And the thing is, I can systematically go back into my past, and you know, I'm kind of a very even tempered guy. But I remember before I left my organization at some stage, there was a bunch of messing around, and they wanted to do a pitch just before I left, and all kinds of stuff. And I actually remember saying to one guy, I'm going to smash his head into a table.
Oh, man.
it wasn't a super aggressive attack thing, but I said, look, if you're going to push me even further, I'm going to be smashing heads into, I was like saying things that I wasn't really like I didn't mean, it wasn't banner. And the thing is, thinking about that and like other little bumps in the road, because I tend to let things build up, which is also wrong. But the thing is, when you can't, it's usually when I haven't had enough sleep. Mm. You know, I become this a-hole.
Mm.
So please, if someone sees me in town or, you know, I'm being a dick to you, just tell me to go to bed, okay? No.
So,
and you know what, dude? The other thing, okay, yeah. So,
no, tell us about, I think we talked about time.
I've got a book.
Yeah, we talked about time. Now you should have, we talked about calendaring, we talked about managing interruptions.
Yeah.
We talked about sleep. So that's, I think, I hope so, you have a good point of view. Now I want you to talk about the next big key in productivity, creating right habits.
Exactly. Because this is, I mean, you probably have less of a problem than I have, right? Because and this is why I like our friendship, is that I always get inspired by how productive you can be, because I am the eternal procrastinator. I always find other things to do, right? So I recently, and I wouldn't say this is the book that I have in my hand here is called Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg, PhD.
PhD.
Stanford guy, founder of the Behavior Design Lab in Stanford. I mean, just the mere fact of holding this book, I feel better already. The only thing, I would also be honest that I've only read like two chapters already. Anyway, I need to read more. But the first of all, the reason I'm sharing this book is also, I wanted to share the premise, right? Because at the moment, if you listen to us and you're going to try and be Jonathan, you're probably going to get screwed over. And I've seen it too, because for example, one of the things I'm trying to do is get up earlier. And that kind of alludes to my process, is that don't try and overextend yourself. Start with small things, right? So, and the reason I brought this book up, Tiny Habits, there's an interesting kind of idea around what he speaks around behavior change,
yes.
Right? So I'm going to try and explain this for people listening to this, is that there's two axes. Now imagine an X and Y axis. So the one that goes up to the sky is motivation, and the one that runs horizontally is ability, right? So the higher any of those points are, the more likely you are to actually do the behavior that you want to do. So let's say I want to wake up early in the morning. So my motivation might be very high, but if I'm super tired, which is low, means that I can't really action that. So if you see in the book, and you go look online under Tiny Habits, there's actually kind of curve that comes into this as well, right? So if you find the right levels of behavior or motivation, and ability to do that task, you are more likely to do that. But there's one small trick, and it's a prompt, right? So for example, he uses an example in the book where he says like, what could be a prompt? So in the morning when you wake up, the first thing you do, the mere fact of the alarm going off, you put your feet on the ground and you say, I am grateful for this day because, or you say, this is going to be an awesome day, and you leave it there. That's a small little habit that you start forming, your prompt, right? So then you start easing into the fact of waking up earlier. So for example, a challenge I'm doing, Jono, and you're kind of aware of this, is that I'm running like a small little side project for myself. It's actually a little side podcast. And the idea of this podcast is to get myself out of my grumpiness. And I record a 5-minute episode every day. And the challenge of that day is to find something that is extraordinary in that day, every day. So usually around 5-6, my prompt is, okay, cool, I need to start editing this thing. So I have to start recording. So there's like, it's doable. It's not impossible.
Yes.
Right. And then I start building on that. And that, you kind of have to build that muscle. And that's a big advice piece that I would give, is that, because I've run into this myself, is that as soon as you start switching off all the notifications and all these things, and you set the bar so high that you can't get to it, you get despondent.
Exactly.
Right. And then you're not going to do anything. And I'm still struggling with it. So at the moment, what I'm really trying to do is just like trying to, the small prompts that I'm using is what my calendar gives me. Right. So if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't happen. So I try and manage my calendar better from a professional perspective. So anything I need to do needs to be in my calendar. And I try and keep that as best I can. And if I screw up, and believe me, this week was a complete screw up. Don't make the classic vanilla mistake and wait for, okay, cool, I'm going to start a clean week. I'm going to start on Monday. No. You start at the very next hour, the very next minute, the next day. You start back into that habit. Keep on going.
Oh, that's a very, very good point. Start tiny, yeah. Start slow. Start, you want to do fitness? Start doing 5 minutes a day. Don't try to do more than
that.
Don't try to do more than that.
I've made so many mistakes, like so many gym contracts.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna get into shape. Boom. I'm gonna do weights.
You can see
a mile with these bad boys.
There have been several studies and about building habits, and this book is really good. I did the workshop from BH Fogg. And brilliant guy, very interesting. And I do believe in it. I do believe that you need to start really tiny. When I say really tiny, it's not even like the minimum you think is okay. No. It needs to be almost meaningless for you. If it's fitness, if it's one push-up, not more than that.
And don't forget the prompt.
Yeah.
Whatever's going to kind of remind you to do that thing. You have to do that as well.
The important is to build the
small
habit.
Yeah. Prompt.
Do it every day, even as meaningless as it is. And you will see it will work. You need to believe us on that. I know it's counterintuitive. It's just our stupid monkey brain is working.
Anyways, dude, I've got a prompt here on my side saying that we need to start wrapping up our stories.
Yes.
So once again, you've been listening or watching wherever, whatever you're doing, Jonathan and Banner. And then if you want to get hold of us, and you go to blockthinking.com. So it's blockthinking. So without the K, because we thought we were clever and we actually screwed ourselves over. .com, blockthinking.com. And over there, you'll find all the show notes and show stuff. So everything we reference will be there. And then also we have this interesting little system where people can actually send us messages.
Yes.
And we've received one or two of them already. We've had people actually requesting us to talk about certain things. I had a colleague of mine actually contacted me and said, listen, can you talk a little bit about starting a business in Poland? Keep them coming.
Okay.
We are really willing to share our screw-ups and our mistakes so that you can learn from them and share insights. So, Jonathan, have I missed anything? Blockthinking.com. We're streaming live into Facebook from time to time, so you can find us on Facebook, Blockthinking. We're definitely very active on Twitter, and you can find our Twitter handles in the show notes. But both Jonathan and I, because we are two dodgy guys, are relatively easy to track down.
Yeah.
And you can also find us on LinkedIn. Jonathan's LinkedIn profile, though, is a little bit outdated. It still states that he works at Bidronka because he doesn't update any of his social profiles.
Yeah, you know, not for Mark. But yeah, I hope you learn things during this episode. Those are lessons we learned for our decades, practically. So I hope
you will take
time to schedule your day, the day before, that you will sleep enough, and that you will create those habits that are going to make you hyper productive. And thank you very much for listening.
Yes, and before I go, I also want to say, because we've got one thing, is that we think that we are gurus. Jonathan, maybe you are, I'm not. So if you have any tips or things that will help with habit forming or like setting up like running more productive, push it our way so that we can share it on this platform as well, because there's still much to learn and a lot, especially on my side, a lot more effectiveness to kick in. So Jonathan, boom, another 25-30 minutes down the tubes. And thanks for spending time with me again, and thanks to you for listening.
Thank you all. Talk to you soon.